From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. He's the grand old man around the campus of the University of Alaska, the spark plug of activity among faculty, staff, and students, and a general morale booster, beloved, it seems, by everyone. But now at the age of almost 70, Hugh Longley is getting ready to take things easy for a while. At the end of November, he's retiring from his job as property control auditor with the university. It will be the second time Hugh Longley has retired. The last time was in 1963, almost 40 years of service with YMCA. Retirement, however, didn't suit him at all. He found he just wasn't ready to quit working and wanted a retirement job, he said, so that he could be of some use to someone. So he joined the university staff. What was a retirement job for Hugh Longley, however, seemed a demanding schedule to other members of the university's faculty and staff. Furthermore, it wasn't long before the energetic Longley was organizing volleyball and badminton teams around the campus and becoming a general spark plug of activity. Many of his friends predict that even a second retirement won't write the end of Hugh Longley's story, and that it won't be long until Hugh Longley gets into something else. Our story today on This Is Your University. It would appear to be an unusual second occupation after 40 years of working with people in the YMCA. Working with inanimate objects as a university property control auditor seems kind of slow and not very exciting. Not so, Longley explains. While keeping accurate track of university equipment and property, thousands of items scattered in various locations around the state seems a Herculean task. The real job is in working with the people who use the property. The work often calls for a combination of Sherlock Holmes and compromiser. For instance, furniture is one of Longley's responsibilities. Keeping an inventory of some hundreds of desks, chairs, lamps, beds, tables, and other furnishings necessary at any university where people live and work. But furniture has a way of moving around, often at the hands of mischievous and spirited students. A campus tradition at the university is Engineers' Day, an annual event in the spring when engineering students take the day off to have fun. One favorite activity for the engineers, working off a long winter of cabin fever, has been moving entire classrooms of desks and other furniture. Most of the engineering students were ready and willing to help replace furniture after their day of fun, but tracking down the movements of some of the furniture called out the finest in detective traits, and it was the smiling, friendly Longley who had to play the detective, seeing that desks, chairs, and tables got back to where they had been. Even apart from the traditional Engineers' Day, dormitory equipment and furnishings have a way of moving from room to room as students decide to trade tables, chairs, and other equipment. And here's where Longley also comes in. Although it isn't a part of his job now, Longley was in charge of the faculty living quarters on the university campus. It was his responsibility to keep families and wives happy. With such a demanding job, it doesn't seem that anyone would have energy left to play a few games of volleyball after 5 o'clock. But the energetic Longley not only takes to the volleyball and badminton courts with enthusiasm, he also manages to promote the spirit of friendly competition and physical exercise among fellow staff members. Actually, the pace for Longley has slowed a bit since 1963, when the grand old man suffered a mild coronary heart attack, partly due to a heavy schedule of physical activity. His activities formerly included baseball and ice hockey, as well as volleyball and badminton. After retiring this time, he's just going to take things easy for a while with an auto trip for himself and his wife around the United States, to Europe, and then to points onward, he says. He'll be back in Alaska eventually, though. His friends and co-workers around the campus don't doubt that, for there's just no such thing as retirement from anything for Hugh Longley, the popular old man at your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System.
From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. Symphony orchestras in Alaska are family affairs, it seems. Just about everybody gets into the act. Fathers, sons, daughters, mothers, even the family doctor. Friends and neighbors from a community with mutual interests in music are bringing good music to their community, meet to rehearse symphony concerts. It's just a part of living in Alaska, of course. Good music, culture, and art are things you have to do for yourself. It takes a large community to produce a full symphony orchestra. Orchestras require large numbers of people playing a wide variety of instruments with skill and precision. In Fairbanks, the University of Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra is entering its ninth year of bringing full symphony concert productions to Alaska's interior. Under the guidance and direction of the University of Alaska Department of Music, Fairbanks Community Orchestra volunteers have practiced and refined their ability until they have been able to bring professional quality symphony productions to music lovers in the community. The story of the University Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra is our story today on This Is Your University. In 1958, Fairbanks lacked an orchestra, and interior Alaskans had to content themselves with going without live classical music or by merely listening to records. In the latter part of that year, a local high school music teacher, Jack Lynn, thought that a volunteer community amateur orchestra, similar to orchestras in Anchorage and Ketchikan, might just work in Fairbanks. Lynn talked to people interested in music, and the next year, a group of amateur musicians from Fairbanks, the university, and nearby military bases of Fort Wainwright and Eielson Air Force Base met to form Fairbanks' first concert group. Those early practice sessions were admittedly rough. It wasn't until the university's music department began taking a strong part in directing the orchestra that the University Fairbanks Symphony, as it's known today, began to take shape. A few of the musicians who helped to start the orchestra in 1959 are still playing regularly today. One is Robert Dryden, who began with the group playing a violin while he was still a junior in high school. He is now an engineering student at the U of A. Another is Angela Teagarden, also a violinist, who is now a Fairbanks housewife. Today, some 50 local people from virtually all walks of life make up the rank and file of the orchestra. Mrs. Dorothy Wood, wife of the university president, Dr. William R. Wood, plays first violin along with Joe Faze, owner of an art supply and hobby center in Fairbanks. Jack Pettijohn, a neurologist with the Fairbanks Medical Clinic, is concertmaster. His wife plays the flute. Elizabeth McNabb, wife of a U of A graduate student, plays a violin along with Mrs. Mary Tome, wife of an Eielson Air Force Base chaplain. Mrs. Tome's daughter, Elizabeth, also plays a violin. Robert Metvelt plays a trombone and operates heavy equipment during the day at Fairbanks International Airport. Conducting and giving guidance to the group is Professor Duane Mikow of the university's music department. A good many performers in the orchestra are music students at the U of A. Members of the U.S. Army's 9th Army Band are also members of the orchestra. The first three concerts of the year in Fairbanks will be conducted during December. The first will be in Eielson's Base Chapel. The second and third will be given in the Civic Center Theater on the A67 grounds in the city. Orchestra members hope to use the 400-seat theater from now on for their concert productions. Toward spring of this year, the orchestra will continue a pilot program began last year with a financial contribution from the Alaska State Council of the Arts. Residents of small, isolated, rural communities in interior Alaska will enjoy music presented by members of the Fairbanks Orchestra sent on trips into the bush. Last year, a woodwind quartet toured Point Barrow, Nome, and Kotzebue. This year, similar groups will be sent to smaller, even more isolated villages. It will be the first chance for many rural Alaskans to hear live classical music. Plans are also being made to send the entire orchestra on two trips late next spring. One concert will be given at the Clear Missile Early Warning Station, another in the Yukon River village of Fort Yukon. It's a dramatic development, exporting culture into the wilderness, but members of the University Fairbanks Concert Group feel that they want to bring the enjoyment of good music to as many Alaskans as possible. Members of the university's music department who help guide and train the orchestra are glad to serve the people of Alaska. Another service from your university. is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System. From the University of Alaska at College, this is Your University. Being a historian and an archivist, working with old books, papers, and manuscripts may not seem like a very exciting way to make a living to some. And while it may be true in some places, it certainly isn't true in Alaska or at the University of Alaska, where the university archives and a growing historical manuscript collection is under the direction of Paul McCarthy. McCarthy is anything but the popular image of a historian or a librarian, which he was before becoming the university's archivist in 1965. He's young, congenial, and again, contrary to the popular image, likes the outdoors. The difference comes, though, when McCarthy talks history. He takes seriously his work in preserving the history of Alaska in archives where valuable documents will be available for generations of Alaska students and scholars to study and to enjoy. He feels a sense of mission in his work, and the story of that mission is our story today on This Is Your University. McCarthy is highly trained in archives work and manuscript preservation. But the rest of it he had to pick up along the way, he says, learning by doing. Running a canoe through rapids along the upper Yukon River was a skill learned unexpectedly fast last summer. McCarthy and Ted Ryberg, director of the university library, began a Yukon River historical hunting trip 150 miles above Circle City near the Alaska-Canada border. By canoe, the two paddled to the sites of old prospectors' and trappers' cabins deserted since the Gold Rush days. They pinpointed cabins by directions given by veterans of the Gold Rush era in Fairbanks and by old navigation charts used by sternwheel riverboat captains of that era. In nearly a week spent on the trip, they managed to locate some 14 old cabin sites. Old newspapers, diaries, letters, and other material long abandoned to the ravages of the interior Alaska weather were rescued and brought to the university for permanent preservation. McCarthy and Ryberg plan to continue the Yukon canoe voyage next summer, visiting such historic towns as Purgatory, White Eye, Woodchopper, Sam Creek, Johanny Frog Cabin along the Yukon. The business of preserving valuable documents once they get back to the university calls for some complicated chemical treatment, not only to preserve the paper, but often to repair damage done by severe weather or careless handling. A variety of techniques can be used to remove or neutralize acids that cause deterioration in old paper. And recently, McCarthy has been experimenting with some new techniques involving a chemical called cyclohexylamine carbonate. If experiments turn out successfully, archivists at the U of A will be able to just dust old papers with the chemical and in a few weeks see all acids neutralized. In such ways, valuable collections of material documenting Alaska's heritage will be preserved, collections that now date back to almost the year 1700 in Alaska history. The oldest collection in the U of A archives are regimental records of a Russian military garrison moved from Siberia to Alaska. Other collections include early records of the Alaska Commercial Company, now the Northern Commercial Company, and the collections of well-known public figures from Judge James Wickersham to former Alaska Congressman Ralph Rivers. Working in the past is really working for the future in the archives of the University of Alaska. It's only part of the job of meeting the needs of a growing Alaska at your university. This is your
Door University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. An idea transplanted from the University of Iowa in 1962 has mushroomed into almost a major cultural institution around the University of Alaska campus and the nearby city of Fairbanks. The Creative Writers Workshop, an informal Monday night meeting of people interested in creative expression through writing poetry, fiction, and almost any expression form of the written language, was started in 1962 when Dr. Edmund Skellings joined the university faculty as an associate professor of English. Skellings had worked with such informals writers workshop groups at the University of Iowa, and it seemed as if the same thing might work in Frontier Alaska, a virtual melting pot of people in a new wilderness land. From a starting workshop group of 12 in 1962, the Monday night sessions have now grown to include almost 60 people meeting together to criticize poetry and fiction and almost any kind of writing produced within the group. In leading the workshop, Skellings has since been joined by Dr. Donald Kaufman and Robert King, associate professors of English, Lawrence Wyatt, also of the U of A English department, and Ken Warfel, a student and published poet-author of Fowl and Other Fingerprints. The university's creative writing program has since branched out in many directions over the state. And the story of the Writers' Workshop is our story today on This Is Your University. Outside a classroom in the Bunnell Building's first floor on the U of A campus, a small wire basket on a table is the distributing point for an innocent-looking mimeograph bulletin called Writer's Worksheet. Since it was started as a part of the workshop, the worksheet has grown until now over 500 copies are picked up each week and passed around the campus and the general Fairbanks community. Each Monday night, contributions of verse, fiction, life sketches, and other writing forms in the worksheet are criticized in class sessions by Skellings, Kaufman, Wyatt, and Warfel. The criticism, Skelling points out, comes in all forms from the group, from cold analysis to hot emotional expressions of like or dislike. Sometimes comments from the group can seem unduly harsh and brutal, seemingly damaging to a young beginning writer or poet with sensitive feelings about what he is writing. But a wide variety of criticism from a peer group of equally beginning writers actually does more for the new writer than the alternate method. One audience of criticism in the person of a professor, Skellings maintains. The people who come to workshop sessions on Monday nights are of almost every type and description. They are bearded students freshly transferred from Berkeley and other centers of student radicalism, and Alaskan students just in from a summer of fighting forest fires and working construction. Interested residents of the Fairbanks community, businessmen, janitors, truck drivers, waitresses, from almost every occupation, sit in on the Monday night sessions through an interest in writing and self-expression. Robert King, one of the professors, points out that the work sessions represent the unique blend of people found in Alaska, an unusual mixture of extremely sophisticated and primitive. Dr. Skelling says, "We're not trying to produce Hemingways or William Faulkners here. One never knows when such a genius may emerge. Instead, we're trying to teach as many people as possible the experience of the creative process. It makes them better people often." He adds, "And it makes them better able to appreciate literature, because from experience, they understand the process the writer goes through." The creative writing program has recently been extended into a series of trips for the five writer-poets by airplane to high school classrooms and small communities around the state. They found an enthusiastic response from the younger students in the appreciation of literature and poetry. Dr. Skelling's idea of a writer's workshop is working, and things are just beginning for the creative writing program at the university. Last year, an award of $1,000 from the National Humanities Foundation brought national recognition to the university and will help extend the program of teaching and writing to meet the growing needs of a growing Alaska. From your university. This is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service at the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System.
From the University of Alaska, this is your university. On the University of Alaska campus at college, a blackboard in front of Greg Erickson's desk is covered with mathematical equations and chalk dust. Standing before the blackboard, Erickson, a research assistant at the university's Institute of Social, Economic, and Government Research, chalks in a few more symbols, arrows, notations, and markings. He then stands back from the board, adjusts his glasses, and surveys his work. This represents the total production of an important natural resource industry in Alaska, he says, looking over the equations on the board. Behind Erickson's formulas in the blackboard are weeks of calculation and research undertaken by a staff of a vital growing research institute at the University of Alaska. That institute is our story today on This Is Your University. A popular nickname around the university these days labels the Institute of Social, Economic, and Government Research as the Institute of Everything. The Everything title fits well. Since its founding in 1961 at the behest of the state legislature, the Institute, also known by the initials ISEG, has quietly undertaken the task of providing basic research information on Alaska's economy and population. Information gathered will help solve the state's current and future development problems by providing public officials the information they need to initiate new programs and policies. This year, the Institute's activities are being carried out by a staff of some 50 people on the U of A campus. They're investigating subjects that include an analysis of Japanese trade potential with Alaska, a study of electric power needs for industry in the state, a review and analysis of state and federal mineral laws, a survey of water quality requirements for Alaska campgrounds, a study of Alaska agriculture, a social study of hunting methods used by native subsistence hunters in the state, and an analysis of Alaska politics and government. The wide-ranging scope of Institute research covers almost every facet of activity in Alaska. A diverse staff of research assistants specializes in economics, agriculture, land development, anthropology, political science, labor studies, sociology, and other fields in social and economic science. With such a staff, the Institute can handle almost any research assignment to aid Alaska's development. Victor Fisher, director of the Institute, puts it this way. Our broad approach to any study is emphasized because most of the problems facing Alaska are so thoroughly interrelated as to require participation of researchers in all relevant disciplines. For example, any study of the development of northern and western Alaska must of necessity include dealing with such factors as cultural analysis, employment, education, job training, demography, and transportation. One important study currently underway at the Institute is pilot research into the problems of development in northwestern Alaska. The talents of researchers in many fields will focus on combined efforts in this study. Director Fisher points out that besides fulfilling research requests from government agencies and other institutions, another prime purpose of the Institute is to promote and stimulate the sharing of knowledge covering Alaska's development problems. The university's Institute of Everything has grown a lot since it was founded. The growth, however, sometimes has been hampered by lack of funds. A shot in the arm came last year when the Ford Foundation granted $550,000 to the Institute. As a supplement to the state appropriations and other support, the Ford grant opened up new avenues of research for the Institute. The university's Institute of Social, Economic, and Government Research is playing a key role in providing basic research data for building Alaska's future. It's an important part to play to meet the growing needs of a growing Alaska at your university. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the Department of News Service and Publications at the University of Alaska in connection with the University radio station, KUAC. Your announcer has been Robin Marks. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.